Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Taking you up to 6:30 tonight on 106.7 The Fan. We're Grant and Danny. Thanks much for listening to the show. Ben Standick does a podcast I was on recently and was talking shop with him about the Commanders' offseason plans. And he brought up the idea in the draft of taking a defensive end in the first round. And I thought at first, when I heard it, that it would be something that fans would think is insane. I personally don't mind the idea of going defensive end. And we were kind of in lockstep on this, but he actually made a really good case for it. I think with Chase Young and Montez Sweat on the roster, and James Smith-Williams coming off of really good performance last season, and the rest of their depth chart, including Casey Tuhill and some other guys that played okay when they got an opportunity. F.A. Obata when you kick him outside. The thought within the fan base is probably you don't need to go defensive end. It's not a big enough need. Move on. Did you realize that every single one of the players on their roster other than Shaka Toney at that position is going into a contract year right now? Montez Sweat is not under contract beyond this season. Chase Young, unless they pick up his fifth-year option, and I would not. I would actually go as far as to say it would be ridiculous if they did. But both of those guys, your key marquee defensive ends, your best pass rushers on the edge, are free agents to be. Unless you pick up year five for Chase Young. Then you look at Tuhill and Obata, who just got a one-year deal, and James Smith-Williams. They're all scheduled to hit the market. So if you're talking about the draft, not just for September and October, November, but layering and planning for the future, It's almost impossible to imagine after they paid Allen and Payne at D-tackle that they're going to pay both Montez Sweat and Chase Young. So either they extend Montez Sweat before the season starts and we find out sometime around training camp they have an extension in place with him, or you're going to pick between he and Chase Young at the end of this coming season and try to pay whoever it is that you can. But if one of them walks, which I think one of them probably would, again,
great chance, yeah.
Hard to pay both of them, you need a starting defensive end. So either you go in the next offseason having to go pay for those sacks and those pressures, which costs a ton of money on the market, or you have to draft and develop a defensive end at that point. So is it really crazy to think that them drafting an end now, who might initially be like the third guy on the depth chart at the position, but who you groom for replacing either one of those two guys that walks, makes sense to me. It actually, while you never hear about it, we've talked about line, O-line, we've talked about tight end, we've talked about linebacker, cornerback ad nauseum. They might need to start thinking about the long-term future at the defensive end position.
You know, sometimes I'm talking about you personally this time, GP. Not the general you, but I'm actually talking about you. You hear about a food and you go, nope, I don't like that. I won't eat that.
Yes.
And then someone goes, well, you never had it. And you go, yeah, but I know I won't like it.
I would do that with olives.
There you go. This is an olive to me. You can tell me whatever you want to tell me. Very reasonable, good case laid out by you, and it sounds like Ben as well. I can't have that dish. I can't do that. I hear you. It sounds great. No, is my immediate response. I don't have a great reason why not. Mostly because I want to prioritize the offense, focus on that. And if you need to draft a defensive end, we don't know what's going to happen. You could do that next year. You can find a Hassan Reddick in free agency for not that much money like the Eagles did. It's not easy to do, but it's also not. I mean, you committed. You made your bed with your two defensive linemen on the interior. Fine with that, by the way. I like paying productive players, and that's who I want to keep around. I just can't do that this year. I can't do another front seven guy for a defense that's been pretty good where my offense stinks. And just it's the principle of it. I totally understand your point. It's right because you're in not danger, but you are very likely to have neither starting defensive end back next year. That's it is 100% a scenario on the table. Another is that one of the two comes back, but most probably I'd say 51% right now, if I had to bet, would be neither of those defensive ends is a Washington Commander next year. I'll jump off that bridge when I get there. I can't do another one at this point. Just reflexively.
But so you are at least admitting the idea is pretty good.
Yeah, the idea makes actually a lot of sense. Yeah. It does. And I can't dispute that because it is reasonable. It is well thought out. I have emotion attached to this, which is not a good way to argue. It gets thrown out of a court of law. Something about drafting yet another defensive end in the teens has me like in hives. Like I heard this and it's a great topic for this reason. I can't really defend my point other than I want to focus on the offense. Yeah. I'll fix it if I have to fix it later. It might need fixing. You're right. I can't do another
one. Well, here's the argument, I guess, on your side, if I'm trying to help you out, is...
And I need some help here.
No, you don't. You're doing well. You're a big boy. You got this. I think you could say it's a luxury pick where you are making the selection more for 2024 and beyond. And because of how little they've gotten done in the way of free agency and filling holes and strengthening strengths, they don't have that luxury right now. Like, your defensive end position going into this year is not a problem, necessarily. Montez Sweat is good. Chase Young, assuming he can get back to his pre-injury status, even though he struggled in his second year before the injury, is a pretty good defensive end, you would think. James Smith-Williams shined at times last year as a third guy. Like, he actually did some good things. Now, he's not going to get to the quarterback a lot and finish and get guys to the ground, but he can stuff the run a little bit. He can get home occasionally and put some pressure on the passer. I think Casey Tuhill, similarly, F.A. Obata occasionally. Like, those guys have all flashed a little bit. And you could just say, in 2023, they're not going to lose games because they're not good enough at the defensive end position. And if so facto, I can't draft a defensive end. But my argument, just going one by one, is Montez Sweat has been very solid, but has not yet broken out and shown even that Ryan Kerrigan-level ability to kind of finish and be in the double-digit sack range and pass rush win rate year in and year out. He may leave at the end of the season. Someone might be willing, should be willing, mm-hmm. I would imagine. Guy looks like an action figure with arms longer than the line at the DMV, you know, to go give him $20 million a year. That's a very real, legitimate possibility.
Yep.
You may not be ready to pay that guy. Okay, so now you are going into next year with Chase Young. We don't know what he's going to be. And a defensive end to be named later. I mean, what happens if Chase Young doesn't evolve back into what he was supposed to? Like, the end of last season, we finally saw him after the longest injury recovery ever. And I know he had a big, bulky brace on, and it's not fair to judge his performance. But just talking about the end of the season, How could you possibly have watched that and felt like great about him being a game wrecker this year? Just kind of ran into the guy in front of him and got swallowed up by a tackle, and then the next play happened.
Yeah, it's a lot of like wild arms and big movements, but, you know, nowhere close to a quarterback and not much of an impact.
So I'm super hopeful, and I want Chase Young to be exceptional, and there's a chance of that. But if I had to put money down right now, and it's the reason I'm not picking up an option to pay him $17-plus million next year, is Chase Young going to be excellent? Is he going to be a double-digit sack guy every year? I'm not putting that money down right now, this moment.
Nor I.
So now you're talking about probably signing Sweat and letting Young walk. But either way, you're going to need an end next season. And it could end up that both of those guys are not back.
I think that's probably the most likely.
There is no position on this roster where they have less future certainty than defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole argument. And I think it's a pretty good one.
No, it is. It's compelling. I mean, so to me, the instant, because we talked about this when it came to signing Daron Payne and what that meant. And to me, the first domino to fall in this regard was paying John Allen. Correct, justified, right thing, captain, stud, right? So then it basically was like, I think there's one more guy that's getting paid out of this group of four straight first-rounders on the defensive line. One more. And it turned out to be Daron Payne. I was a bit surprised by it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I thought it was franchise tag, and maybe they'll pay Sweat, or maybe their plan was to pay Young ultimately. But then, of course, what happened with him, and he doesn't look like you know, we've got the pre-draft type that's ever going to be lived up to, et cetera. I think as soon as Daron Payne got signed, that was the answer. That was kind of the end. So I think what's most likely, and you may disagree, is that both of those guys walk. I can't see a third $20 million defensive lineman who would be, with all due respect, I think Sweat's good, the least productive of the three of them, right? Like, Payne just had a breakout year. You're hoping that he continues, and that's the new normal for him. If it is, it's money well spent. John Allen, we know. I don't think they would do a market value deal for Montez Sweat. I think they're letting both those guys go. So it's even worse for my case that you're going to have a need. I think you fill that need when you have to next year. You're not in a position to do a luxury pick just yet with how broken your offense has been and how in dire need you are over the next season or two of help in other areas.
See, I think you have to keep one of those two, probably. I don't think you can have two first-round picks in your building, both of whom at different varying points have shown major potential, but specifically Sweat. Like, Montez Sweat is not viewed as, you know, an elite pass rusher or one of the better defensive ends in the NFL, understandably, okay? But with 8 sacks on the season this past year, it's kind of about where he's been. He had 7 as a rookie, 9 the year after that, dipped down to 5, but remember he missed 7 games, had the tragedy within his family where he missed some time, had COVID. I think he had a broken jaw last year. So really, he's pretty routinely been around about a...
in between 7 and 9.
Sack every 2 games, kind of. Yeah. Like a 7-9 sack guy. Sacks are not the end-all be-all. I always try to make this case when we talk about pass rushers, because pass rush win rate, pressure percentage, you know, there are better controllable analytics than sacks, which are uncontrolled. It's like judging everything based on home run count or something like that, where you'd rather like to know, are you putting the ball in play loud? Is the contact hard and firm? Are you getting the barrel on it? What's your barrel percentage? What's your contact rate? How much swing and miss is there? Like, there's a lot of ways to find out if a guy can hit or not beyond just home runs. And the comp I always use is there are guys that have the same pressure rate year by year, and the sacks jump up and down. And we had Logan Paulson on recently talking about Daron Payne, and he made the case that if you look at it, Payne's pressure rate wasn't that much better last year than it had been in the past, but it was just kind of a luckier year sacks-wise, right, where he went from being around 5 sacks to getting to 11.5. And he'll probably be back, not because he's going to do anything wrong, but just because it's kind of the way that it goes, in the 5, 6, 7 range moving forward, and people may view it as a disappointment, and they shouldn't.
So just to quantify that quickly, one of the numbers I look at is quarterback hits. That usually correlates a percentage, a reasonable percentage of those hits are sometimes sacks, right? Like where you're getting home, you're there, you're not getting personal fouls, you're not too late, you're almost affecting the play. Montez Sweat was tied for 4th in the NFL with a bunch of guys. We're right there at number 28. Every other player around him had at least 12 sacks. You follow me? Everybody else that had 28 quarterback hits or more, most guys that had 26, 25, had 16 sacks, 13.5, 12.5. The smallest total in that club that he was in was 12.
And that's outside generally of his 8. Been the case, by the way.
Exactly.
For his career, I would say, his impact and effectiveness as a pass rusher has outweighed his sack total. And it's why I would pay him over Chase Young if I had to choose between the two.
Totally.
And I am of the belief you pay before you have to, because you save money that way. So I would actually be trying to get a deal done with him right now. You get the extension done this year, you would actually very likely save cap money this season and create a little bit more space for yourself the way that they had happen with Terry McLaurin last year. He signed his rookie contract as a first-round pick, was, you know, 4 years, close to $12 million, whatever it is, you know, at the end of the deal. I think this year his cap number is $11.5 million because of the $23 million, the way it gets broken down over all the years. So his cap number, if you re-up with him, you could lower down to a third of that. You could save $7, $8 million in cap space this year and get an extension done with Sweat, and he's 27 going into his prime, and now defensive end is a lot less of a concern. But as long as he is going into a contract year, as is Young, who is now a complete question mark, mm-hmm. I think, and I've talked to people in the building who feel the same way about his health, about his sustainability long-term, about his potential dominance. It'd be one thing if all the backups, like the two Hills and those guys, are also locked in, but none of them are. Not one. So I guess the question for you guys is this. We asked something similar earlier and took your temperature on tight end, and it sounded like you guys, for the most part, would be fine with them going tight end in round one. How about defensive end early on in the draft, where they have such a big need on the offensive line? They're trying to help Sam Howell. Their only massive move of the offseason was re-signing a defensive tackle to keep Daron Payne here, and then they would get a first-round pick end that came in that probably wouldn't even start, that would be on the sideline a lot. Is that something that you think they can justify? Is it something that you can make a case for? 800-636-1067. We want to hear from you guys next on the MGM National Harbor listener lines on Grant and Danny.
The first year you're back, you're still kind of feeling yourself out. You don't truly trust that knee. The year after, so 2 years after the injury, is when I feel like you're fully confident again. You're back to that player you were before. And yeah, 2021 was not the year that Young wanted before he got hurt, but he was one of the best defensive players over the second half of his rookie season in the entire league. I think he has all the potential in the world if he can get that full mental confidence back in that knee. He has the athletic gifts. I think he can certainly end up being a high-end elite pass rusher in this league. I'm just, after the comments from Ron Rivera, I'm wondering if they're going to let him see it out at this point, too.
Darius digging in the archives there. Ethan Cadeau, NBC Sports Washington, on Chase Young. We're talking defensive end here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We've kind of stumbled into this based on, frankly, a lengthy conversation I had today with our buddy Ben Standig of The Athletic. He made a really compelling case. He kind of bounced it off of me initially thinking I was going to hate it and said, what if they went defensive end real early in this draft? That would go over poorly. Do you think it would be crazy? And I said, absolutely not. What's their future at defensive end? It's very much up in the air. I am not confident in Chase Young right now. I do think they will get a deal done with Sweat, but they don't have one in place yet. Both of those guys could be playing another team a year from now. Neither's under contract. And I didn't even realize this until he told me, but every other one of those backup JAG secondary options are all expiring contract players as well. It would be nice if they had the luxury to kind of do whatever they wanted when they got to the draft.
Yep.
Because Rivera actually said as much. I'm going to take his words. I won't even use mine. But in his last public Q&A, when was that? Was that maybe the Bieniemy presser?
Sounds about right.
I don't think
couple weeks.
I don't think they did a pre-free agency press conference. So whenever he last spoke, he basically said something like, look, we want to get enough done in free agency. The idea is when we get to the draft, we're not filling holes. We're able to do whatever we want. And my analogy I always use is you don't want to shop hungry. You want to eat your dinner, then go to the store, and that way your cart resembles someone who's not a maniac, right? So you have dinner, you go, you're not hungry, and you get what you need for the week, not what you want to eat in that moment. You got all the different candy and snacks and stuff. I'm not sure if they have the ability to actually do what makes sense for the future, like defensive end, because they haven't done enough in free agency. They still need O-line help. They still need a cornerback pretty badly. They still could use, in my opinion, a tight end. I think in some people's opinion, linebacker. I don't care as much about that because I don't think they value the position. I think they use them two at a time at most, and they'll use extra DBs. But to that point, they still need maybe a third safety, depending on what you think of Percy Butler. So there are major other areas where the need for this season outweighs defensive end, but there just aren't that many positions on a football team more important than edge rusher.
No, it's true.
And the long-term health there right now looks really shaky.
So a couple things that in response. With all due respect, I don't care about the Hyphens or Two Hill or somebody else. You can always find those guys. There's a million running around practice squads every day, all the time.
Bradley King.
Yeah. James Smith Williams, Bradley King, those guys.
I would say that James Smith Williams has proven to be a really good football player.
I think he's fine, but I can't change all my plans just to make sure. Like, oh my God, I'm worried about losing him. I don't think anybody's saying that.
It's very rare, Danny, that you agree that not one player in a position group room with several people is under contract beyond the coming season.
It's odd.
That's rare.
It is. But I guess my point is, almost all the guys that I care about are the headliners, the top two.
Fair.
So replacement level guys, I'll replace them with other replacement level guys for very, very cheap. That's not an emergency to me. I can't do it this year because I have to prioritize elsewhere, even with their, you know, modest filling in around the edges free agency period, such as it was. You know, there's not a lot of cap space at the moment. I hope they can make it. But to me, I can piece together a good defensive end room with, you know, JAG replacement level players, one veteran free agent next year. For example, I have no idea what kind of year he had this past year. I'm just looking at current free agents. William Golston, who's had a career getting after the passer. He's not a world beater. He's not great. But you could get that guy in free agency. Yannick Ngakoue or Marcus Golden, who had a great first half a couple seasons ago in Arizona. There are veteran pass rushers on one side. You could draft somebody next year if that's, you know, lighting a fire under you. There's too much to do now for me to start layering and drafting for next year. Their mistakes have already been made in that regard, and there's too much urgency right now.
Well, that, to me, is also worth talking about, though. Like, that's an annoyance I have. You just had a few weeks to go get a starting tackle, two starting guards if you wanted to. Like, not everything has to be super expensive, right? But they had time to make sure. Now, we don't have to draft an offensive lineman because I just signed a guy if I'm Rivera. And they didn't do that. They had time to go get a corner that they really, really like. They claimed Cam Dantzler, which I'm excited about. I think that's the type of thing teams should do. But not a guy after he leaves in the middle of his rookie contract with Minnesota that you can bank on or count on being really good. But you just had a period where the best corners were all available. You sat it out where now you might have to take one at 16. You could have opened a lot of possibilities for yourself.
Yep.
And instead, you've kind of handcuffed yourself into addressing some of these needs by being so conservative in free agency. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Our guy Chris in Hyattsville is on the line to get us started. What's up, Chris?
Got it. Turning off Freddie Kroeger. Sorry, I say this every draft year. If they draft a defensive player in the first round, I'm boycotting the entire season.
So you've boycotted a lot of seasons recently, Chris.
Yeah, I've got a lot of extra time on Sundays. Listen, I'll say it. I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. This is an offensive-driven league, and the Commanders have had a terrible offense for the past forever. Fix that first. I don't care how many guys you have to draft. I like Grant. I'm Team Grant on this. I like the tight end plan. Get yourself an elite tight end. What did three of the four NFC, AFC / championship teams last year all had a premier tight end?
That's a great point. Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, tight ends are a matchup nightmare for defenses. Get yourself as many weapons and create matchup challenges for the defense. Until you do that, I don't want the draft. If he has a D next to his name, I don't want him in the first round. I don't care. I don't care.
You know what? I don't
unless
hate
he's
that.
Reggie White.
Yeah. Look, I don't hate this Chris idea because I try not to do rules. You know this about me. Like, I don't like when people say you can't draft a running back in the first round or never draft defense. So I would never go as far as to say you can't do it. But in their case and in this specific spot that they're in, until you can score points,
yep,
nothing matters. And right now this season, the single biggest storyline with the team and the only thing that matters is how good is this guy Sam Howell? It's the most dependent position on the field. We talk about this all the time. Our guy Joe Theismann calls up every few weeks to remind us this is a dependent position. It's not just about quarterback. If Sam Howell has great players all around him and a great offensive line in front of him, he's going to look a hell of a lot better. If he plays really well, you're going to win more football games. It's not that complicated.
That's right.
Imagine McLaurin and Dotson and Samuel and a rookie tight end who's a weapon like Dalton Kincaid all running routes at a time where Antonio Gibson's coming out of the backfield, right? Like, that starts to get scary. Now, someone could say you need to be able to protect him, and you were right. And it's why I'm annoyed by what they just did in free agency at the offensive line spot. But I would also aggressively attack O-line. Like, if I go, just as an example, tight end at 16, which I probably wouldn't for the record, I would move back and take tight end with one of my early picks. If they stay put at 16, cool, take a tight end, no problem. GM Paulson is trading back from 16 at least once, if not twice. Ideally, I'll make my first pick at the end of the first round, and then I'll have a couple of twos or threes or what have. I'll have three or four picks over the next, over the first, you know, three rounds or something like that. To me, that would look like a tight end, a couple of offensive linemen, and a cornerback. That's my master plan. Now, how you get there, let's start making phone calls.
Yeah, let's burn up the phones.
But that would be kind of what I'm looking to do. Offense, skill position, offense, offensive line. When those things, when you've done that a few times, now we can look at everything else. Because not only is defense less important in my vision, you've got a really good one, Danny. You got a pretty solid.
And you're right in saying, hey, we've got a future need here. Thank you very much for that contribution to our meeting. We're now talking about getting an offense out of the upper 20s in terms of ranking. The good offenses win a bunch of games in this league and have a chance to do something special. We would like to do that. So we'll take your point under advisement. It is now written down in the minutes. Back to talking about offense. For me, same thing. I'd love to trade back, love more picks. If there's an offensive player that's high on our board, he plays tackle or tight end or wide receiver. We can talk about that because Curtis Samuel next year, that may be where you save some money, right?
So you'd be willing to take a wide out?
Hell
early?
Yeah. Is it a weapon or an offense? Sign me up. Can
You're
it help my offense?
Running back, though.
Right. I think that should never happen. Almost. There's a rare exception. If I'm so great and so set everywhere else and like a young running back, I guess. But even then, I bet you something better you could do.
They're not so set and so great everywhere else.
No.
I wouldn't think. Does not change, though, as much as you and I prefer, it sounds like a lot of people might prefer it, going with weapons, going with the offensive line, it doesn't change that they have a massive need at corner and a significant need at end. And then that's kind of the point of this conversation is, do people get how legitimately they're going to need end help if Chase Young doesn't come all the way back? If Sweat just has another kind of 7.5, 8.5 sack season, what do you do? Are you about to pay him $20-plus million dollars a year having never had 10 sacks? That gets difficult.
Yeah.
And I know he's better than the sack numbers, but sacks get you paid. Like that's there's a direct correlation. D's in D.C., how are you?
Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, I'm listening to you. I totally agree with you. I think that they may take that chance and choose a DN at 16 to motivate Chase and Sweat this year to play harder. But if I'm them, I'm going to trade back. I'm going to get me a second pick. Or another pick in the first round, and just play from there. I also picked up a tackle today, I believe, from Pittsburgh, so that leads me to think that they're not going to go offensive line with that first pick at 16 because they're already building this offensive line up from what I'm seeing.
I mean, I don't know that any developments that were made today with a fringe offensive lineman in the back of the roster means that they're not drafting anybody. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't feel like any of their offseason free agency moves have precluded them from doing anything in the draft.
No, I mean, the Wiley move, you paid him like a starter. Now, I guess he has the flex to be able to play guard or tackle. So they could say they could kick him inside, play him outside, whatever. But the addition they made from Pittsburgh in Trent Scott. Has played both positions, guard and tackle on the offensive line, he's made 20 career starts. He's bounced around. He was undrafted in 2018. Chargers, Panthers, Steelers. Eight of his games, in just one start, came for Pittsburgh last year. And he would be the fourth tackle on the roster, so to speak, if they had a depth chart come out today. So because they added him does not mean you don't go tackle at 16. They still need starters at guard, as far as I'm concerned. I would imagine they're banking on Cosme being their starter at right guard. Maybe they feel really good about Chris Paul, who kicked butt and looked good in week 18, playing left guard. I'm not sure. But I would like to sign one more starter at guard or draft that guy. But you're right. Like they've done nothing other than Wiley where you'd say that guy's definitely starting for them.
Somewhere.
On offense.
Yeah, somewhere on the offense.
I think Barton is probably their starting linebacker, replacing Cole Holcomb, who we had on the show a couple days ago. A defensive end, how big of a need? Is it something that they should be considering, or do they not have the luxury to, despite the fact that Chase Young, Montez Sweat, and every other end on the team could be a free agent at the end of the year. And what about the futures of Sweat, who's been pretty good, Young, who has disappointed here, coming back from injury. It's been a long couple of seasons for him. Plus, I told you we'd tell you where Ezekiel Elliott might be heading. There are three teams apparently battling for his services. We'll tell you who they are next on Grant and Danny. I got a strange Lamar Jackson update for you. I'll give you that in just a minute. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Ezekiel Elliott, the former Dallas Cowboy, has narrowed down his options to three potential suitors for this coming season, according to Adam Schefter. Philadelphia Eagles, New York Jets, Cincinnati Bengals. Eagles would be really compelling because he gets to play Dallas twice. He stays in the division. It's like he never left. Obviously, his role would shift because they went and got Rashad Penny, and I don't think he would be their RB1. Mm. Penny, when he's healthy, averages 6 yards a carry. The
little
last
thunder
couple
of the lightning there.
It'd be a little Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott situation, maybe. I get why they would want him as a battering ram on the goal line, taking over for Boston Scott. The Jets are loading up on offense and just trying to add as many weapons as possible to get the house ready for Aaron Rodgers. Although, financially, that's interesting to me. I know Elliott's not going to break the bank because he made so much money in his first contract. He'll probably be able to take less now. But it's not like he's going to make nothing. And I would think they're trying not to spend much in this moment so that Rodgers can take up a massive amount of their cap space. Running back position, yeah, where they've already got pretty good room to go add a veteran like Elliott.
You'd have to get creative to do that, right? You'd have to do some kind of weird, probably a bad contract, to be honest with you, something where you'd, not front load or whatever, the opposite, backload type things so that you wouldn't be able to cut him in a couple of years. But yeah, if you want to do that one, you got to make the pieces fit.
And the Bengals are the other team. Here's why I think that one makes sense. I actually brought the Bengals up last week when I said I would shop Antonio Gibson in a draft pick and trying to go get T. Higgins, give him a 1 and a 3 or a 1 and Antonio Gibson or something like that. That was another story for another time when we were just talking about out of the box kind of crazy things that Washington could do that would be fun. But the Bengals have Joe Mixon, who has been in trouble with the law, I think, twice since the end of the season. He's not being charged with anything, I don't believe. But Samaje Perine's out. He has found a new home.
Denver.
So their running back room is thinner, and they could use their thumper between the tackles. So actually, if I'm him, I like the idea of the Bengals. You could compete for a Super Bowl. The Eagles in the same boat in the NFC, and if he really wants to play Dallas a couple times a year, which oftentimes is someone's motivation after they leave a place and in his case get cut, maybe that would make sense too. I would say Bengals, Eagles, Jets in that order as far as what makes the most sense to me. I think he could have a decent role in Cincinnati.
I was going to say, taking emotion out of it, because sometimes guys like to go play the team that cut them. You could see your rivals a couple times a year. Taking that out of it in terms of situation, I think I'm probably with you in terms of those rankings, because all three have a chance to be really, really good. Two are coming off excellent seasons, and one is ascending. Again, if this Aaron Rodgers thing goes through, as we assume it is, the Jets are going to be pretty good as well.
So here's my Lamar Jackson update. I just saw this come across in the last few minutes. This is weird, so buckle up. The NFLPA has informed us that a person by the name of Ken Francis, who is not an NFLPA certified agent, may be contacting clubs and attempting to persuade club personnel to enter into negotiations with or concerning Lamar Jackson, who is currently under a non-exclusive franchise tag with the Baltimore Ravens, the memo begins. As an uncertified person, Mr. Francis is prohibited from negotiating offer sheets or player contracts or discussing potential trades on behalf of any NFL player or prospective player or assisting in or advising with respect to such negotiations. Clubs are reminded that under Article 48 of the NFL CBA, an offer sheet, which may result in an NFL player contract, may only be negotiated with the player, if he is acting on his own behalf, or with the player's NFLPA certified agent. To be clear, Mr. Jackson is not currently represented by an NFLPA certified agent.
Wow.
Now, what they're saying is not, Lamar Jackson doesn't know this guy, and he's just making calls on his behalf, and it's really weird. What they're saying is, this guy's making calls. Doesn't seem like Lamar Jackson has an issue with it, but he's not a real agent, and you're not allowed to negotiate with him to try to get Lamar Jackson. Tell me more how well it's going with not having an agent for Lamar. People that seem to think he's doing the right thing. I don't know how you can keep making that case, as he and the Ravens are still at odds, as there's, you know, agents help drum up markets. There's no market for him. He's way too good of a player to not have a market. Now he's got, I guess it's him doing this, but some guy is calling around on his behalf who's not an agent. Two teams. Remember the story came out a few days ago that a team got a call from a guy and they thought it was weird. That's how this all started. This is not someone who's in the Players Association. Agent pool. And they're just going team to team to try to see if you want to get a deal in place for Lamar.
What on earth is going on?
Violation of this rule may result in disapproval of any offer sheet. So if you got a deal done, maybe they would rip it up. Or resulting player contract entered into by Mr. Jackson and the new club.
So I read this to say somebody fell for it and they had to send out a memo. Like, that's how this comes across to me. Meaning, like, you know how if you're driving down the highway and there's a sign that says wrong way, and it would never occur to you to drive on the other side of that highway, but somebody did once, so they said it's probably worth it to us to spend the money on the sign to put it up there. That's what this looks like to me, is that somebody didn't understand and thought, like, guys, you're about to get Lamar. You're just talking to a dude named Ken Francis. You're not getting Lamar.
But I read this as Ken Francis is a real guy working with Lamar. Do you not think so?
I don't, but you sounds like you know more than I do.
No, I know nothing. I just, they're not saying Lamar Jackson doesn't want this guy involved. They're saying this person is not allowed to do this because he's not an agent. But wouldn't Lamar come out? He tweeted at people who had things wrong about how much he was offered. If some guy named Ken Francis is trying to do a deal for you and you don't want him to, I would think we would have heard that from Lamar at some point. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I mean, what do you make of that?
So again, this is all coming very fast right here. I think it sounds to me like, I don't know who called the cops here. I don't know who told the NFLPA, but I think there's just some dude named Ken Francis who's out there going, hey guys, you want to deal with Lamar Jackson? I got you. And they're like, okay. And they had to basically send out a memo like, that dude doesn't represent Lamar Jackson anyway.
I'm looking up NFLPA.com. I'm about to Google. I've got a list of all the agents. He's not showing up.
You're not going to find Ken Francis on
It's weird.
There.
I don't see him here. Francis. There's a Francis. It's not him, though. I think Lamar's probably, he's got someone helping him, maybe, but it's not a real agent, and he's not allowed to do what he wants him to do. Pretty amazing. Grant and Danny on The Fan. We got NCAA tournament action tonight. We got the Caps and a power play coming your way as well. And we are almost back to baseball in D.C. We've got exhibition games being played in town on Tuesday right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.